Spirit of God, why don't you lift up your hands as we pray? Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for exciting times, God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anoint my lips of clay. Anoint the church. Anoint households. Let angels, amen, sit at attention. Stand at attention as the word of God is being preached in our homes and families and children and new converts and babes in Christ. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Wherever you are, amen. If you're not already sitting down, you may be seated. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. I want to say thank you to my brother Ethan Pace. Amen. On the piano keys, anointed man of God, single young man of God. Amen. Anointed, loves God. And amen, I thank him. Praise the Lord. Amen. I remember, as I've told several times, about a particular story that I read from Vietnam. And amen, I've heard it preached several times, amen, about a particular man. His name was Carlos Hathcock. He was a sniper in the Vietnam War. He loved his country. He was a man of immense discipline. He was a man of strength. He would go on for many, many tours being in Vietnam. It was a time of a lot of rawness for Vietnam snipers. There was a lot of bugs that still needed to be worked out of their planning, but nevertheless, they went forward. In his book, this biography and somewhat autobiography of his life, amen, I can't remember the title of the book, but it was captivating. Just reading over the beginnings and the genesis of his life from just a small town country boy roaming in the wilderness and the woods of the southern country of the United States, and just advancing on, becoming a decorated soldier in the Vietnam War, and his love and his passion for his country. Found him later down the road in the middle of warfare, in the middle of darkness. There was a lot of formlessness, the Vietnam War, due to the unplanning and the unpreparedness of the war. And so there he was many times in this dense, dark jungle with adversary and enemy and death just an eighth of an inch from his life. And he found himself navigating these thick, wet jungles, trying to accomplish missions and trying to accomplish some feats for a man, his soldiers and the military that he represented. And one particular time, there was an adversary, a particular sniper that was taking soldiers and was torturing soldiers in the midnight hours. And he wrote in his book with horror to the reader's ears about how they could hear the torturous screams of fellow soldiers off in the distance as they were captured by this particular sniper, this woman sniper that had a demonic pleasure for torturing American soldiers. And one particular time, he set out and with precision and with passion to take care and annihilate the adversary. It took days and months and close to a year to find this adversarial sniper. Amen. And it was Carlos Hathcock at the end that was able to locate, amen, this adversary and destroy this adversary of his fellow soldiers. Towards the end of his career, he had went many times of almost being close to death, and times of dysentery and sickness and affliction hitting his body, and malaria and all types of diseases. And of course, you've probably heard of the different elements and the rain and the weather of those times. It wasn't easy times. It was a time where a man had to really be a man. A soldier had to really endure hardness as a good soldier. And towards the end of his military career, there in Vietnam, after almost being blown up to smithereens and pieces, and being in the Army or being in the Marines and trying to serve his country, they came to him and had one more mission for him. And it was a death mission. It was a mission that was going to probably guarantee that he wouldn't be coming back to his precious wife and his little baby over in the States, North Carolina, I believe it was. And they came to him. He was the only one that was skilled enough, the only one that was experienced enough and that had that veteran polish to his life, that knew how to navigate on enemy terrain without any type of confusion, without any type of intimidation. And they knew that he was the only one that could take care of this principality, this stronghold that relied in the mind of an adversarial captain of the enemy. And so they came and they introduced him and interviewed him and seen if he would be willing. The pressure came on, that pressure that hits a soldier that is dedicated to his military, and that pressure to perform, and that pressure of dedication and discipline, that decoration that polishes a soldier, a man, to fulfill a duty for his country. And he didn't want to do it, and he wrestled with it, and finally that old soldier in him got a hold of him, and he agreed to do it. They dropped him off in enemy territory, a man by himself, alone and solitary. He knew how to navigate it there, and he would be on his belly for days on end, there in the elements of the weather and the insects and the nature that seems to come out of the ground and out of nowhere. Mosquitoes and foreign insects biting his body and taking little chunks of his body. Dehydration setting in. The sun beating down upon his body and not able to move, not able to go forward. He would stay there sometimes a full day on his belly without moving just an eighth of an inch. And there it was. He came in face with a cobra one day, just a few inches from his face, and was able to navigate that. It wasn't long that after those days, sometimes laying in his excrement, just trying to fulfill a mission, that he felt like his mind began to waver and go in and out of sanity. And as the day waxed on, he can feel his sanity and his reason beginning to slip, like holding something heavy in the hands for a long time, as the grip, amen, and the manipulation of control would begin to slip from the hands. Amen. His reason and his mental peace begin to slip from his own mind and psyche. And it was there that he told himself that he's about to go crazy. But there was something that came out of nowhere from the deep recess of his body. I believe it came from God himself. But he told himself, amen, that before he was ever came to this, that he made this decision to do this while he was in his right mind. Praise God. I made this decision, amen, while I was in my right mind, while everything was good and everything was clear. I made this decision. And I know that we have an adversary. I know that when a man decides to live for God, when a woman decides that they are going to cut off the world and that they are going to live for God, that there is an adversary that will arise and will attack your mind. I know that there is an adversary. I know that there is an enemy in the deep jungle of the spiritual realm, unheard, unseen, and unactive, so to speak, to the human eye, that will raise up and it will attack health. I know that there's an adversary called Satan, Lucifer, that old dragon that raises up against the people of God, raises up against single young men and women, raises up against families and the working man and the pastor, and all the way down to try to push back the force of the church. I know from personal experience that there will be times when you are alone in the bedroom, banging your head against the wall, saying, God, it feels like I'm losing my mind. My church seems foreign. It seems like I'm in solitary confinement on this mission for God by myself, representing the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And it'll be times that the enemy will come and will tell you to give it up. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your peace. And you're going to lose your youth. and you're going to lose your family. But it's times like that that the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God, will remind you that you made this decision, amen, when you were in your right mind. It may have been at an altar. It may have been somewhere at a pew, on your feet or on your knees, but you made this decision to live for God. And friend, when you remind yourself there is a God from heaven that will lift you up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Praise God. Why don't you clap your hands wherever you are and say, Lord, I have made this decision to live for you, and I'm going to endure to the end. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Wherever you are, clap your hands unto the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I guess you'll probably hear me say amen quite a bit, because, amen, times like these, we just have to amen ourselves. And I trust you, amen, and wherever you are, amen. But I'm thankful for that Spirit of God. I read in the book of Genesis that through all of the chaos and through all of the darkness and through all of the formlessness, amen, the Spirit of God was still moving. I believe that God was orchestrating and introducing us to a specific action and personality to God himself. Amen. That no matter what, I know that the world is going to have dark times. As a matter of fact, John would later write in one of his letters that the whole world lieth in darkness. It never changed. Amen. The whole world is resting in darkness. There is a portion of the world that finds comfort in all of the darkness and all of its evil deeds. Amen. But the church, amen, has learned how to operate, survive in times of darkness. There is a spirit on the inside of you that we have titled and that we have called rightly the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is that Spirit of the Lord that is not intimidated by dark times. It is that Spirit of God, yea, that will activate and will become even more powerful in times of darkness. Amen. In times of perversion and chaos times, in times where it seems like the religious world has no form, they are losing their form and they are losing their structure. What are you saying, Brother Poindexter? I'm saying that there was a time that churches had some type of form, that had some type of doctrine to their belief system, but now we live in a day that is without form. They're losing doctrine, they're losing system of teaching, amen, all down the line. But thank God there was something on the inside of us called the gift of the Holy Ghost, that in times of formlessness, God can still move on a people. And I'm thankful for the church today, because we still believe in doctrine and form. Praise God. Paul would later write that there will be those in the last days that would raise up, and that they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. Amen. They would have a form, and so to speak, it looks like, but the form would come from the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful that God still gives us that gift of the Holy Ghost, that still puts form, puts doctrine on us. Amen. We still live by some form, by some structure, by some teaching of the Word of God. Amen. We still believe in that form of repentance. We still believe in the form of baptism in Jesus' name. And we still believe in the form of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Clap your hands wherever you are and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Without form, void, amen, chaotic times and times of darkness, God is not intimidated. God does not wax feeble in times of darkness. Amen. Look through the annals of history and you will find that there was a time that we call upon the world the Dark Ages. And this seems like God was silent. Seems like cold religion was taking over the world, but God was still moving through the lattice. God was still filling people with the Holy Ghost, because God still moves in times like these, friend. I want to tell you, when you have the Holy Ghost, amen, God is still active. Let God move. Quench not the Spirit. God is not intimidated by the media. God is not intimidated, amen, by all of these things and by the news sources. God is still moving on the sick. God is still moving on the feeble. God wants to move on the brokenhearted and those that are blind and those that are taken by sin. Our God is still moving. And so God, all the way in the New Testament, on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, as Peter began to preach, amen, that beautiful message, and the condemnation, that godly condemnation, began to get on the hearts of those men after the Holy Ghost fell, and they began to speak with other tongues, and they began to ask the question, what meaneth this? And Peter stood up, full of that Spirit of God that moves in darkness and chaos, and he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. It was dark times in those days. Amen. It was dark and chaotic times, but Peter said, listen, God is still pouring out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As he began to conclude that message, conviction began to fall on the hearers that day in Acts chapter 2. And as that question arose, it arrived in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, it's dark times when men ask, what shall we do? But there is no guide. What shall we do? But there is no light. I believe we are living in that day. Men are asking the question, what are we going to do about food and sustenance? What are we going to do about peace and tranquility? What are we going to do about comfort and ease? Oh, and Peter begin to stand up. Oh, that famous message, Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was that same gift that moved all the way at the beginning. Peter said, you can still have that gift that's able to operate and able to move in times of darkness. Oh, it is that same gift that is not intimidated in times of chaos and voidness. Oh, it's that gift of the Spirit of the Lord that is able to move when it seems like there was no form and it seems like there was no structure in the earth. Amen. It is that Holy Ghost gift that we still have today, and that is the most precious gift that we can ever possess. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a day that the Holy Ghost, amen, is on the inside of man. Hallelujah. That old gift, that precious gift that God has given us. I want you to know, amen, that God gives us that gift to dwell on the inside of us. What is that Holy Ghost? That is the Spirit of the Lord. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to delve into the gifts, that gifting that God, what did God really give us when he gives us the Holy Ghost? Is it just for speaking in tongues? Is it just to just walk around and say, hey, I've got something that the world doesn't have? But I believe when we begin to investigate and we begin to archaeological dig up around the Holy Ghost, that we'll find out, amen, that it's deeper than speaking with other tongues. Amen, that it's deeper than just shouting around and jumping up and down. Amen. I want to tell you, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, amen, Paul begins to write to the church about the Holy Ghost and about theology and about the Godhead. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, there is one body and there is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Amen. There's one body. Amen. There was one manifested presence in the flesh of God, and that was Jesus Christ. There was one body. There was one church that is going to be called out of this earth. Not all denominations, not all churches. Jesus declared, amen, in the book of Matthew, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, they that do the will of the Spirit of God. Oh God, thank you. Amen. One body. And he said there is one Spirit. Capital S. One Spirit of God. There is one Spirit. Not three spirits combined into one. Not two spirits combined into one. Amen. Not a polytheistic theism of spirits. A multiplicity of spirits combined into one. Friend, when you look at the Godhead, there is only one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of the Lord, and Jesus Christ is Lord. He would later write, say, there was one Lord, there was one faith, and there was one baptism. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that is the Spirit of Almighty God that moved at the beginning, that is not intimidated in times like these. I want you to know you can look at your little boy and your little girl with assurance and say, baby, you've got that Spirit. Amen. That Spirit of Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit of God that is able to operate and able to manifest and do his best in times like these. Praise God. Oh, that one Spirit. That one Spirit. God told us, Jesus told us while he was there in Acts chapter 1, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, I believe it's been preached enough, and we'll continue to preach it, but I won't preach on it today about that meaning of power. Amen. I want to let you know that you've got a Spirit of power on the inside of you. Oh, that Spirit, that resurrecting Spirit that's going to pull you off the earth, amen, and bring you higher past the clouds, beyond critical mass, beyond the galaxies, when Jesus comes to receive his church. I want you to know that there's an elevating Spirit on the inside of you, able to arise and elevate above all of the mess, and above all of the carnality, and above all of the depression. That is the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you. This is why the writer would write, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. Where did that rising come from? It come from the Spirit of God that hovered over the waters, that hovers over humanity, that's able to raise us up beyond the clouds of confusion. Oh, clap your hands. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It gets deeper. Paul, amen, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, as he begins the chapter and begins to write about the Old Testament sacraments, if you will. The Old Testament utensils and instruments that were in the Old Testament tabernacle. And he begins with type and shadow and this comparison to the old sacrifices of bulls and goats and all of these things that were rolling sins forward but couldn't roll sins away. Oh God, let me tell you, false religion or just religion indeed can roll some things forward, but it takes the true blood of Jesus Christ to roll sins away. Praise God. Oh, thank God for that blood. Paul began to detail about the blood of Jesus Christ. He gets down to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, and he's talking about the blood of bulls and goats, and he gets on the blood of Jesus Christ, and he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He said it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is administered to us at baptism in the name of Jesus. It is that blood, amen, that purges our conscience from dead works, from sin, alcoholism, and cursing, and anger, and all of the party and the lifestyle and revenge. It is the blood of Jesus that purges the conscience, that inner man, amen, and it kills it. And he said, and they were able to serve and worship the living God. It's by the blood of Jesus. But I want you to look deeper in this portion of scripture. The Bible says he did it through the eternal spirit. He offered himself to God without spot, and it was through the eternal spirit. There it is again, that synonymous term for the Holy Ghost. He called it an eternal spirit. You say, man, I can't live for God. There's no way I can go to church every Sunday. There's no way I can stay in Bible study and live right. Yes, you can. Through the power of that eternal spirit, you can offer yourself to God without spot. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, that eternal spirit, that eternal, perpetual spirit that we call the gift of the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give God praise. Amen. I can't hear you clapping, but I know you're clapping. Amen. He called it an eternal spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of you, is a perpetual spirit. Amen. It has no beginning. It has no ending. It is the Spirit of God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. When you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you know that there was something that will help you endure. Jesus looked at his students that day, and he said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. There is salvation in those that endure, and you've got to have a perpetual spirit. Where can you get it from? Where can you plug into it at? It's through the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, man, I feel like giving up. I feel like giving in. Here's my Bible, Pastor. Here's my keys to the church. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you said, here's my keys, Pastor. Hey, man, I'm forgetting the code to the church. Here's my Bible. Here's all my prayer requests. You can have it. But I want to remind you, friend, there's a Holy Ghost on the inside of you. There's an eternal spirit that's going to help you go from glory to glory. Amen. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did he give it to us for? He gave it so we can endure. Amen. I know there's a spirit of backsliding that would love to come upon the church. But oh, if we can tap in to that eternal spirit, that gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, we'll stay on and we'll hang on till Jesus comes. Praise God. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Man, it's amazing when you read John, 1 John chapter 2. John begins to describe to us a world of iniquity. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he begins to talk about, amen, that all that are in the world. He said, amen, if you are a friend of the world, he said, you are the enemy of God. Oh, what words, what strong, pungent words to say to somebody, amen. If you have a love for the world, if you have an affection for the world that trumps all other affections, he said, listen, you're not a friend of God. Oh God, how do I overcome these things? He said, for all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Oh, how do we overcome these things? He later begins to talk about a spirit that's already in the world, an antichrist, anti-Jesus spirit. Amen. A spirit that hates Jesus' name, baptism. A spirit that hates Christianity and religion. How, God, do we navigate and overcome these things in a world of worldliness and carnal pleasure and self-seeking pleasure? Amen. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, as Paul told Timothy. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is the hour and the world that we are living in, that John was describing. Amen. When you get to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, he tells us how to navigate through the worldliness and navigate through the Antichrist age. And he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? That is that Holy Spirit of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, that we call the Holy Ghost. He said, you've got an unction, you've got a gift, you've got an endowment from the Holy Ghost. And he would later say that you know all things. What was John talking about? about. He was talking about, listen, I know that is a world in this. I know that there's a world that is anti-Christ, but I want to remind you that you've got an unction from the Holy Ghost, that you've got a gift, an endowment, and you know all things. You've got the Word of God. Amen. Have no fear, church. Amen. Though we live in perilous times, I want to remind you that you've got the Word of God, and you already know what you need to know. It's available, and you've got that unction from the Holy One. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That gift. You say, man, I need to go build my library. I need to go build my finances. Hey, what am I going to do at times like this? I need to go pull my account from the banks, and I need to go check my stocks, and I need to get on the phone and talk to this guy. Oh, friend, let me remind you, you got an unction from the Holy One as well. Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut the door on my family until these calamities be overpassed, and we're going to talk to the Holy One. We're going to let the unction of the Holy Ghost, that anointing, begin to move on us. Come on, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This Holy Ghost, what a phenomenal thing that God has given us through the Spirit of God. Amen. I've been around for a little bit of time, and it seems to me that there are times that it seems like the Holy Ghost is just for speaking with tongues. And when we're not speaking with tongues, it seems like fear captivates us. It seems like confusion and a spirit of inferiority tries to get a hold of us. And we walk around, I can see it in the Spirit right now. People are walking around, shaking in their hands, saying, I just don't know. Oh God, I see him losing weight and fearful, pulling out their hair from stress and anxiety. I see them getting on the phone. I see them having stomach ulcers and issues from all of the media and all of the news that's going on. But oh God, there is a gift, there is an endowment that God has put upon the church. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but it is the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. What does it come from? That comes from the Holy Ghost. I hear the voice of the Lord speaking to his church, saying, my people ought to operate in my spirit. My people ought to speak through my spirit. My people ought to go forth and be in my spirit. A spirit of confidence, a spirit of peace, a spirit of courage, and a spirit of balance. Man, I've got a sound mind that comes through the Spirit of God, through the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, I tell you, if you're speaking words of fear, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's just the spirit of flesh. If you're speaking about I don't know, and you're spreading all type of negative reports, man, I'm telling you, that's not of God. He said, you ought to look up for your redemption, draw nigh. I'm going to give you a spirit of power in the times of darkness. Praise God. Amen. It gets so deep. Amen. Isaiah begin to prophesy in Isaiah chapter 11 about the manifested presence of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in the flesh. And he says, listen, he's going to come from a branch out of the stem and the roots of Jesse. He's going to come through the lineage of David, out of the tribe of Judah. And he says in verse 2 of chapter 11, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge and the spirit of counsel. Amen. The spirit of might and all of these. And he lists seven spirits that come, amen, as access and as a package, amen, with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost today, amen, there is a spirit of wisdom, amen, that dwells on the inside of you. Amen. There's a spirit of understanding that dwells on the inside of you. There's a spirit of knowledge that dwells on the inside of you. There's a spirit of might and counsel. Amen. And at all, when it's said and done, seven of these gifts that are packaged, internalized within the realm of the Holy Ghost, everything you need that had Jesus operating in a time of of darkness will operate on the inside of us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. John would later pick up the writings of the old prophet Isaiah. Amen. In John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, as John on that island of Patmos. Amen. You got to watch John. He's isolated. Amen. He's in solitary confinement. Amen. His family is gone. His church is gone. Amen. But he, amen, hadn't been in a service with other people. Amen. In a long time. Amen. The spirit of depression, I'm sure, was biting at his heels. No doubt the only visitation he had was from demonic spirits and the devil himself. But old John was in good spirits. Amen. In the Lord's day. And God said, I've got a mission for you in the midst of your loneliness. I've got a mission for you, John. Just because you have a church by yourself, amen, the mission does not stop. I want to tell you some church, I know you've been having church by yourself, so to speak, but it's still time to win souls. It's still time to teach a Bible study. It's still time to invite somebody to the house, amen, and show them the word of God. John begins to write. Amen. I'm having fun, by the way. Praise God. John begins to write, and John says these words. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, he said, listen, I've been having church by myself, but I still got a word from God. Amen. I've been by myself in the prayer room. Amen. I've been in myself, by myself studying. He said, and I got a word to the church. Praise the Lord. He said, John, to the seven churches, amen, that are in Asia. Amen. He said, well, I got a word, he said, from him, from which he is, which was, and which is to come. He said, I got a word from God. I've got a word from the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. He said, that's the one which he is, Jesus Christ, which was Jesus Christ, and which is to come. That's Jesus Christ. How can you believe in a Trinity? He just explained it right there, that Jesus Christ is the one which is, and which was, and which is to come. He said, from him that hath the seven spirits before the throne of God. He said, oh, friend of mine, he said, I'm speaking from the one which is, which was, and which is to come. And then he gives it another name, from the seven spirits that are before his throne, not their throne, his throne. And he says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Unto him that loved us, that washed us from our sins in his own blood. What was he telling us? He's saying that one which is Jesus Christ, which was is Jesus Christ, and which is to come is Jesus Christ. He said that one that is the seven spirits of God. He said those seven spirits of God has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to tell you some friend, when you've got the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've got Jesus in you. And he would later write, as he began to write to Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, amen, write these things, saith he, amen, that hath the seven spirits of God and hath the seven stars. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus Christ, who is the seven spirits of God. And I want to tell you, when you have the Holy Ghost, you've got something more than just to speak in tongues about. Amen. You've got some wisdom, and you've got counsel, and you've got understanding, and you've got might, and you've got the Spirit of the Lord that dwells on the inside. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give God some praise. Amen. I'm thankful for this Holy Ghost. Amen. This gift of the Holy Ghost that God has preciously come down and descended upon us. Amen. Comes from Jesus Christ himself. In times like these, amen, you got to look on the inside and say, oh, friend, I know it seems like God is far away, but no, he is nigh unto thy lips. What was he talking about? He said that Holy Ghost, it's right there, just as soon as you can call on the name of Jesus. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Amen. As Joseph in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, as I'm about to finish up, amen, Matthew begins begins to write about a man that was afraid to go forward in his calling and his mission of God. He was engaged to little Mary, and as he came to see his gift, she had already been impregnated. There was a cloud of suspense and a cloud of trauma that was surrounding her. Amen. There was words of rumors going around of infidelity. Amen. Her integrity had been called into question. Amen. He was in the midst of darkness. Is she who she really said she is? Oh, friend, I'm telling you, that's the church. Oh, is the church really what it's supposed to be? Or is it just a bunch of preachers looking for money? Oh, is it just a bunch of hogwash and a bunch of jibber jabber? Mary was surrounded by conspiracy. Amen. Everybody was talking negative, and that's the church. But Joseph said, listen, I'm going back up. And he was going to put her away privately. And I know there's a spirit of Antichrist in. You ought to get out of the church. But Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 speaks, and the Bible says, while Joseph thought upon these things, behold, an angel of the Lord spoke to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you some, friend. I know the church is not perfect. I know there's a lot of conspiracy around the church, and I know she's got her faults, but that which is conceived in the church is of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, friend, we've got the greatest gift that God has ever given us, and that is the gift of himself. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wherever you are, I want you to stand to your feet. Amen. You look at your spouse and you look at your children and say, you know, we may not have everything in the world. Amen. I know some people are worried about finances. Amen. And all those famous words that Jesus talked about. Amen. He said they're going to fear for clothing and raiment. And he knows. He knows what we have need of in times like these. Amen. And we've got everything we need, as we can say, like Paul said, I've learned how to be abased and abound. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does the strength come from? It comes from the beautiful, amen, wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the wonderful gift. Come on, wherever you are, I want you to grab your family. I want you to stand to your feet. Amen. That person sitting next to you, amen, if they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to pray for them. Amen. But if you've already got the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, I want you to look at your brother, your sister, your spouse, your family, and I want you to look at them, and I want you to look at them deeply, and I want you to realize that that spirit from the beginning dwells on the inside of them. He kind of believes the church is going to be all right. For it's in times of darkness she has her greatest work. Hallelujah. It's in times of chaos and times of confusion that she does her greatest work, because we have a spirit that begins to operate, that begins to move in the times of formlessness, in the times of chaos and voidness, and in dark times. Oh, thank God for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are, I want us to begin to pray for one another. Amen. I know that it is unique times of laying on of hands, but oh, we can still just pray. Come on, pray. Oh, that wonderful gift that he's given to the church. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands and begin to speak and let the Holy Ghost come down. Oh, we've got everything we need. You've got an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things in times like this. Come on, little child, little son, little young man, everything's going to be all right. I heard a story the other day of little children waking up across the world in fear. Children in homes having signs of stress. Little children all across the world grabbing stuffed animals, walking to mom and daddy's room in the middle of the night. Amen. In fear. What are we going to do, daddy? What are we going to do? church. God's got a gift to the world, and that's the Spirit of God that moves. Oh, hallelujah, wherever you are, begin to pray. God has given it to us. Amen. Not by power. Come on, it ain't in the riches of this country.
Let's begin to praise and magnify God. Let's begin to give God all the glory and all the honor. Let the Holy Ghost move in your vessel. Let the Holy Ghost move in your house this morning.
Hey.
Holy glory, glory. Make an altar right there where you are. Make church right there where you are. Invite the presence of God right there where you are. Have a move of God in your house. Let the Holy Ghost flow out into your neighborhood. Make it real right where you are today. That Holy Ghost is real in you today.
Appreciate the good word from Brother Poindexter today. You know what the Holy Ghost is doing right now? The Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is designed to grow. It's designed to fill empty space. It's designed to show up in darkness and in emptiness. It's not dormant. It's not static. It's designed to be bigger next year than it was this year in your home and in your life. This is not a time to tremble. This is a time to sink roots. This is not a time to despair. It's a time to get closer to God and be bigger and be stronger than you were a year ago. This is a time for the church to grow. This is a time for the saint of God to grow. You made this decision. You decided to live for God, and it was the right decision. And there's something in you that God has given you that is bigger than the day that you've come against, bigger than your mountain, bigger than your giant. Let that Holy Ghost grow in your house right now. It's bigger than the framing that we've been using. It's bigger than the thing we've been walking here. This is a word from God that simply says, I love what you've been doing, church. I love what you've been building there. But it's not big enough. It needs to be in every home. It needs to be in every neighborhood. It